You're listening to A Stranger Podcast, www.thestranger.com.
Hi, this is Jen Graves. You're listening to Invisible, the Stranger's weekly conversation with people in art. I'm at the Fry, and I'm here not by myself, but with...
I'm Ellen Forney, cartoonist.
I'm Kelly O, photographer and lover of all things pornography.
And we're standing at the crotch of Devil Girl, this huge sculpture...
Well, you didn't say we're at the Crumb exhibit.
We're at the Crumb exhibit. We're at the Our Crumb Underground, Our Crumbs Underground exhibition, which is a traveling show.
He's hardly underground anymore. No, I mean, he's had a lot of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. he's gotten very popular. A lot of people know who he is. The New Yorker knows who he is. Yes. Okay. What the underground? What is the
Our
name?
Our Crumbs Underground.
Our Crumbs Underground.
Yeah.
Oh, and here we should warn everyone. There are signs everywhere that says exhibition contains adult content.
This podcast may also contain adult content. But so okay. So we're at the crotch of this woman, who's facing us, and also her crotch is facing us.
Right.
And technically, her whole crotch.
Not just her front of her area.
I'm really, really bad about euphemizing sex things. So just FYI, body parts.
From the front to the back.
From the front to the back.
From her mound all the way past her anus.
Correct. I'm glad you... Because we want to give people an idea of what they're looking at.
Covered with what would be panties, except they're painted on.
Painted on.
Right.
And
as
she's
it is
resting
a statue.
On her head. Her arms are actually under her, but she's totally not resting on them.
Well, she's doing a back bend, mm-hmm. right? And resting on her head and the front of her shoulders. And in yoga, that would be considered a heart opener. She's doing such an extreme back bend that way.
She is the woman who she's the character who lost her head.
I don't remember the name of that particular comic, but yeah, it's Devil Girl.
Yeah.
And in an infamous comic that Our Crumb did, her head was pushed into her body by Mr. Natural, he's also a regular character of Our Crumb's. That's, I think, hilarious.
Yeah.
And, but her head gets pushed into her body and then, He gives her to whatever he will to this other character, Funt, who did whatever he would.
Then he felt
so
bad.
He fucked her against a wall. Really.
Then he felt guilty.
But then he felt guilty.
Had to stop.
Should we tell this whole story?
Yeah.
Took her
back.
And then, and so then Mr. Natural came and took her back and reached down into her... chest cavity through her neck and pulled her head back up and she realized what happened and she was mad.
That's what happens.
Yeah. That's what happens.
So this is the girl whose crotch faces you when you come into the exhibition.
Yes. And she is also the mascot? Mascot mm-hmm. wouldn't be the right word for chocolates and other merchandise that I think Kitchen Sink sells for the masses to eat.
Suck on.
Or actually, you know what? Probably to collect.
And not ever open.
Right.
But they have mints here to suck on, right? Mm-hmm.
That they're selling. You know what? I haven't seen
the slogan, isn't it?
I haven't seen the Our Crumb mints.
He has a pretty, you were talking about, right before we turned the tape, he has a pretty mixed relationship with merch.
Right.
Is he commercial?
I don't know how much of a... is he commercial? Well, I mean, you could say he is because all of his work is for print, you know?
But do you think it makes it... how do you think... Because there's the kind of an undertow of this show is that it's here in a museum and in the gallery mm-hmm. and not, in a book that you can buy for, $3.
Which made for some strange situations at the opening. As you probably imagine at an art opening, an art museum in Seattle. So I was looking at Strong Girl. It's a really large comic.
Gotta have fun with
each panel
girl.
is in a separate frame. And, you know, I mean, it's very explicit about him riding, like using this really muscular woman, that kind of woman appears in his comics all the time. The kind of woman that he is really attracted to. Yeah.
and in the movie, he actually jumps on the back of one of these women, and yeah, she carries yeah. him off into another room, and the camera yeah. doesn't follow. So it's kind of yeah. a narrative.
No, no. Apparently, from what I understand, that is actually mm-hmm. something that he enjoys doing, the piggybacking on the strong women with large shelf-like asses. Anyway,
big
so
yep.
big thighs and
big ankles
and
yeah.
big shoes, big clunky shoes.
You wore big shoes today for this.
I did yeah. wear big shoes today in honor of Mr. Crumb. But anyway, so it's really explicit, and he winds up fucking her, and she's like asleep, and he's still fucking her, and whatever. And of course, as you might imagine, right, the classic, I'm standing next to this kind of little old lady and little old man, and we're looking at the same frame, you know, like it was, you know, the same frame towards the end where he's, you know, he has this big, his hairy balls, and, you know, like this, you know, like this woman, and she's all spread out. Splurch, you know, like, you know, so
did you talk about it together?
No, you know, I just kind of noted that, you know, like, oh, this is the situation that I was expecting would happen. How ironic, you know. I mean, you know, like, that there was this little old lady looking yeah. at the, you know,
this
whatever.
Is at the gallery opening.
At the gallery opening, yeah. I mean, it was almost, you know, it was kind of a cliche
yeah.
in a way, you know. I don't know. Art gallery, little old lady looking yeah. at Art Crumb. How strange! You yeah. know, whatever.
Well, what, you know, this is like, there's a piece over there that says something about, like, it's something about him trying to make sense of the gallery world, and he's like, kind of throwing his hands up in one panel. He's sort of like, Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's over here.
Let's go over there.
We're going to go over here and look at it. Basically, it's it's New York Art Scene, made in 2000, and it's R. Crumb in New York, November 2000, and he has question marks all around him, and the text panel says, how about this New York art scene? Like, he just looks like he's, you know, an outsider.
Oh, you know what?
He's totally confused.
Duh, that's right. We were talking about, you know, has there been an art exhibit of his stuff? And even in the movie Crumb, there was.
Yeah. Yeah,
Der.
But this one is a little bit different.
Or she. Well, that seemed like it was a small, pretty
yeah.
small gallery.
In a gallery show, and he's represented, I think, by David Zwirner. It's like a major, major blue chip gallery, like a big deal gallery. And I don't want to say blue chip actually, but like a major gallery. And, you know, like, what is the? I mean, you're a comic artist. Like, what is the relationship? You think
between you're a comic like, artist, Kelly takes
represent.
A step back. I'm staying out of this one.
But I mean, what, you know, what, like, is it just the cliche, like, you know, that like you bring comics into a gallery and people get embarrassed and have to, like, you know, or like, what's the relationship? I mean, there's this way that he's sort of the first crossover guy.
You know, I don't know. I think it seems to me.
Is there even a relationship, or is he the only one?
Like that makes it into. Oh, no. There was last year. There was at the Museum of Illustration in New York. Fantagraphics yeah. did an exhibit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there
Fantagraphics
are a lot
has a gallery now. Also.
Right. And Fantagraphics has a gallery now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing an exhibit, by the way. Plug.
For a new book.
For my new
book. Opening is February 9th.
Right. Opening at the Fantagraphics store. Yeah. And it's Strange Related, as a matter of fact.
It is Strange Related. Oh, we should say
that,
yeah.
collection of my Lust Lab ad of the week. Comics. Cartoons. Wait, should we talk about that now? We'll get back to that, right?
Or yeah, we will.
Just totally hijacked this question of comics and galleries. Okay, yes, I am included in that. okay, but so like Fantagraphics did did a pretty big exhibit. Oh, I'm sorry.
Emma Corny is stepping on me.
With you, with your, I know, with my big boots on your on your stockinged feet. On your stockinged feet. As your shoes are neatly placed across the room. It's kind of hilarious looking, actually.
So weird fetish object.
So I know Fantagraphics did a show, how many times have I said this now? At the Museum of Illustration in New York.
Museum of Modern Art has done comic shows too.
Museum of
Modern
Art. Totally. I did, I know I was in a show at Rollins College, and that would have been 1999?
Maybe this is a dumb question that has no...
It was the cross between... I mean, this kind of directly relates to that, fine art and comic art.
Yeah.
So, I think that there has been an increasing recognition of comics as as an art form and also as a literary form.
Yeah.
I mean, it's both, obviously, it's both, but I think that now... It's not only being recognized as its own medium, but as it relates to those two.
But is there value in kind of like maintaining some kind of distinction? You know what I mean? So that you don't end up just like, I mean, does Devil Girl like lose something coming in here? Or I mean, her crotch is facing a bunch of oil paintings. And, I mean, I really can see what the oil paintings gain from that. And it's harder for me to consider what Devil Girl gains, except for a certain kind of legitimacy that sort of undermines her character in the first place. You know what I mean? Like,
and a new audience, you know, an audience that might not go to a comic store and see this, or for that matter, might not pick up the New Yorker and see, you know, crumb stuff. True. Somebody who only goes to art galleries. But it's also, I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's seeing this work in a new light, you know? Mm-hmm. Because it's brightly lit in here.
Well, it is.
I know it is.
Well lit. But so what do you think of this? No. What do you think of like the? We were talking about this earlier, and how it's hard to talk about his women because they've been talked about so much.
Talked about just to death. Yeah. Well, he's been accused of and defended about being a misogynist because his work, so much of his work is about the women that he's really attracted to and I guess taking advantage of them. Like either, you know, whatever, like we were just saying, their head gets pushed into their chest cavity and
so
you can
as to better
them,
or, them. Yeah.
You know, they get otherwise taken advantage of because their head is pushed into a toilet and they can get fucked on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that you can kind of make an easy argument for it being misogynist. But then there's also context to be taken into consideration, you know? And then there's also this is the other argument that why he wouldn't be misogynist is that he actually loves and fears women and this is how he gets out these fantasies and that it's actually about valuing women. So I don't know. I mean, it's both, really. I think it's both. I'm not going to say one or the other. Yeah. I'm going to say both because I'm a good liberal.
There's a piece, there's really that, like to all you feminist women who are, there's a piece here about that. And it kind of, it is about like him saying, I have freedom of speech and I can say whatever I want. But then he also says, and anyway, the alternative is me going out and raping 12-year-old girls. Would that be better? You know, sort of like...
And as you pointed out in the movie Crumb, that his brother did actually physically and actually molest women. So, you know, it's a good point. You know, it's a good point. I think, too, there's... And I mean, this is something that comes up in porn and why people... have a or some an argument against porn is that it's especially violent porn is that it's going to inspire people to go out and do that.
Well, it's also I think an issue women aren't allowed to even get turned on by violent porn even though some might. Tons of women have violent or rape fantasies that they're, you know, don't actually want to be carried out, but it's just a sexualized sort of thing. But women aren't supposed to like that ever or enjoy looking at images of that or even, for that matter, like anything pornographic, generally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, know? And then to throw something else in the mix, I think that rape fantasies are, I mean, that's a sticky issue, and I think that's pretty common. I see that a lot in Lust Lab.
I was just going to say, what about when you draw?
Yeah, people fantasizing about being taken advantage of, because they're relinquishing responsibility then, right? But so long as it's a fantasy, it's a, you know, and there again, consenting adults, you know, you can, you know, play whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And you could say that that's what Crumb is doing. He's not actually doing it, he's fantasizing about it.
Right.
But then it's like the what context is it in, and how much does the artist need to worry about what context it's in? One of his comics, God, what the hell is it called? When the Jews take over, maybe it was When the Jews Take Over, it was really, really inflammatory. It was like, when the Jews take over, when the niggers take over, when the kikes, you know, or when the, you know, whatever. And it was two pages of just venting, and it was awful and offensive, and, you know, and it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But apparently, the Aryan Nation took the When the Jews Take Over, and they printed that in some sort of newsletter. And that, so that was brought up as a way that what he had put out was irresponsible. So, you know, but that wasn't the context that he put it out in.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're putting something out there, mm-hmm. you know, what is whose responsibility?
Are there any images that upset either one of you of women? Like a general sort of category of
I'm going to say something about my work.
Please.
So far as context goes, I did a comic for The Stranger called How to Smoke Pot and Stay Out of Jail. And it was a two-page comic about how to be discreet and then how to deal with the police and what your rights are.
Mm-hmm.
And that, some sixth grade teacher got really upset about it and brought it into his classroom and had all of his sixth grade students write letters to me. And that was taking something out of context. And luckily for me, it was the teacher that brought that into the classroom, so I got to be really self-righteous about it.
Right.
I mean, had it been one of the students, for whatever reason, then it would have been a much stickier issue.
For you?
I mean, part of the argument is that comics appeal, this is so old now, really. Comics are for kids, or comics appeal to kids. There's so much adult comics now that I don't think that holds a lot of water anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really easy to say, you know, like, teacher, you are wrong. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's taking something out of context. And yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't bring that into a sixth grade class,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah, you know, in underground comics, I think, you know, he's dealing with an adult audience that hopefully can make sense of it in a way. I don't know. It's weird. I certainly wouldn't blame anyone for getting upset about it either. You know,
You, Kelly?
I need a new question.
Well, the new question
starting with the new question.
Hijack that.
Are there any women that, like, images of women that upset you?
Just R. Crumb or in general?
No, in general. Types of images or whatever.
Oh, definitely. Paris Hilton's extremely offensive to me.
Oh, yeah.
The super skinny supermodel Barbie, rich with no brain and there's no respect there. No, like, self-respect or.
Mm-hmm.
And she just doesn't look like normal real girls.
Mm.
I mean, that LA girl, it's extremely offensive to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paris, I hate you. But I mean, that's sort of ideal. I hate, or the super skinny, super, I don't know, fake tits, fake hair, fake lips,
fake cheeks,
fake everything. That's offensive to me. Whereas like R. Crumb's women are so much more appealing because they're the big strong woman,
hairy.
Speaking of, so you did a hairy woman.
I did
a hairy woman. It's it's in the book Lust.
It's in my book, my new book Lust. Yeah, I would certainly say that I've been influenced by Crumb. I can't imagine like that there are many cartoonists that haven't been, really.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say, I wrote a piece about this exhibition, and I'm going to only say this for 1 second, then I'm going to be quiet. and I wrote in there, I can't imagine your big, soft women without his women, without him. And I wanted to ask you what you would think about me saying that. So I'm really glad you said that before I had to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was curious. Well, we should also say that you drew Kelly. She's one of your women.
Ah, that's right.
Kelly is one of your women.
I did a big painting of Kelly, actually.
It's awesome.
A big revealing.
Kelly said,
Might still know, actually, going back to the body types. I mean, a lot of your other paintings had women that were very busty, whereas I'm not busty. Mm. So I was like, and all the other women were topless, and I was like, well, I want to be the one in the series that's bottomless. That's my strongest feature. So. It was interesting, but I mean, it was nice to have Ellen draw and paint me because I knew it would be real and flattering, and I wasn't self-conscious about, I don't know, being bottom heavy.
Yeah, I love that painting. I love that painting of mine. I would say this about the aesthetic, like what's sexy, what is a woman's body type that is sexy. Mm-hmm. Like I was personally inspired by his work and I know my cartoonist friend Ariel Bordeaux too. Mm-hmm. We talked about this, about how it was so great to see like big, powerful women's bodies. Mm-hmm. Eroticized, even no matter what was going on in the comic, just sort of removed from that, and so it kind of opened up this of the world of what you can draw specifically in your comics about what a sexy woman might be. I mean, to choose a really super obvious example, I don't know, not even superhero comics, actually, come to think of it, but, you know, the big tits, the tiny waist, mm-hmm. and, I mean, in the Hernandez brothers, they'll at least have big thighs, but, you know, still very, very hourglass. Mm-hmm. The difference in my own work, I think, is, my women have a lot more real bodies, you know, like you were saying, like, small chest, not a tiny waist, you know. What might be considered flaws, I guess, I think there are lots of different kinds of beauty and lots of different kind of beautiful bodies. And I think it's important for all of us women to know that. And I also really find that I'm putting out there what I think is beautiful too, mm-hmm. and I think that I don't know, it's an important I think that it's an important thing.
So you're not offended at someone saying that because you have been influenced a little bit.
Oh, sure.
And by these women. Well, that's the thing. You know, when I saw...
No, it's an honor to be compared to Crumb. I've been compared to Crumb a couple of times. I think probably primarily because I do women's bodies in a powerful way, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge, huge compliment. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I think he's
so
one
have you
of
met
the most
him?
Amazing... I've never met him. No, I've never
what,
met
what
him.
What do you think he would do if you did? Would you wear these shoes?
What would you do if he jumped on you?
Would you let him jump on your back? Yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know what? Frankly, I have thought about that.
You have?
I've
good.
Thought about, like, would I, like, how would I feel about giving, you know, like, giving him a piggyback ride? And I've decided no.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Kelly said she would give him.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Would you?
Remember?
Would you?
I would. Jen, would you?
I don't,
It would end at the piggyback ride.
It's so weird, I think of
but
myself...
But he'd come on your back.
Yeah, he would.
In his pants.
He would.
He does, he comes in his pants on your back. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if
it's
he
possible,
does all the time.
Right.
It's my understanding.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I don't know.
But
maybe.
But the other thing is, well, okay, I just want to say that
That's a good question, actually.
That is a good
would
question.
You let our crumb, like, jump on your back? Would you give Arkham a piggyback ride? Would you give our friend? We should go ask the people in the front.
You should have to answer that question when you come in to the show. I mean, because we also are not sure about the size of our Crumb's penis.
Indeed.
Let's face it. In the movie Crumb, his ex-girlfriend, who runs porn mags, right? She runs jugs.
She has. Do you remember what her porn magazines are?
I can't remember. They're fetish.
Jugs, I think.
I think Jugs and something about feet.
Leg show.
Oh, leg show. Right.
So she makes a claim.
He did that spread.
Right. So she makes a claim that he has the largest penis in the world.
Wait, you think it's different. I think she just said that he doesn't exaggerate in his
comments first, but then she said he has the largest. He doesn't ever put his penis in his comments.
Well, that's not true. No, look, it's right over there.
It doesn't look that big.
Let's walk over there. Let's look at it.
Shall we?
Look.
That's pretty big. That's by porn standards.
And some of the ones. Some of the other ones. Well, some of the other ones as big as his forearm across the room. Yeah.
So as big as his forearm. So you believe it is the largest penis in the world?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
Could be the surprising nerd one. You know.
Usually, guys. Didn't you think that she just said in largest penis in town or something? Didn't we disagree?
Yeah. Well, we couldn't come to agreement about the largest.
Right.
The largest
category
penis
in which it is the largest.
Right. Exactly.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is silly, but it's also the part of his work that's kind of creepy. Like, that's the part I think that gives everyone pause, because the fact, like, then when he puts something like, would you rather have me rape 12-year-old girls, like, you can't completely discount it. And the fact that like he's doing this is also what he actually does, and the fact that in his documentary someone actually testifies to his actual there's a way in which it gets translated that I think is what makes people
uncomfortable,
and it also gives it like the sort of edge that it gives. I mean, he's not pretending. Like, he's genuinely weird.
Do you know what, though? He's now drawn and had posed for him lots and lots of women.
Yeah.
He says, you know, now that I'm famous, he gets to... And obviously, a lot of women want to pose for him.
Yeah.
A lot of women want either, like... him to hump their leg, or him to jump on their back and take him for a piggyback ride. I think he's doing something that has a lot of sex appeal, and I think that I was saying it was like wow, it's so great to have a body like mine, or how I see myself eroticized, and I think that it's really easy to associate that kind of feeling with the artist who puts that out there. You know, I think that it's not just Crumb desiring these women. I think that there are a lot of women who desire him, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why are we even talking about, would you let him, you know, jump on your back? You know, why is that even a question? Because there are a lot of women who would, right? Mm-hmm. You know? So...
In part because he's drawn these women.
Mm-hmm. In part because he's drawn these women. In part because
he becomes a bit of a hero.
It's the same thing. And I know this is totally taboo about talking about the rape fantasy kind of thing, but here again, in my experience with Lust Lab, so I have experience, right? It's not uncommon. And so I think that there are a lot of people that get, or a lot of women, I guess, that get that that it's his fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just what he gets really turned on by. And
when you draw, how do you draw it? Like, how do you draw a rape fantasy? Because I was looking through the book, and I didn't see any, like, buddy, you know, being sort of
right.
like abused and violated, and obviously that's not your
right.
generally your style, you
right.
know.
Well,
Have you drawn a rape fantasy?
But I make almost all of my the way that I deal with sex in my comics really kind of coy, I guess, and really playful. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just did one, actually, where this tranny wanted to be quote-unquote abducted and, you know, quote-unquote, you know, taken advantage of. And I drew the side of a truck with a pair of legs kicking out. And I made it clear that it was a fantasy, right? My, where are we going? Oh, dear. You know, and also in the text, you know, like, it made it clear that it was, that it was a fantasy. Like, for me, it's, I want to make it really clear that it's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. I think that that's one thing that Crumb, one of the reasons that he's accused of being a misogynist all the time is because he doesn't make clear that it's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who defend him saying that, but so...
Well, also because the depictions are actually literal. Like, the depictions mm-hmm. of sex, even if it's supposed to be fantasy sex, are literally. Like, right. he's not going to depict, like, an allegorical thing where someone's going away in a truck with their, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's right. sort of suggestive. He's actually going to literally depict,
right.
like, the thing happening.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's, like, right. a remove from the actual event
right.
that he's not allowing.
And you're illustrating you're illustrating a personal ad where someone's putting that out there
right.
about themselves versus he's telling his sort of his own story and his own
right.
fantasies.
That's what I was also going to ask. Like, how do you ever feel conflicted between the way you'd want to draw it and the way you need to draw it for an ad? Like, the way you would want to draw. Like, is there another book that you would make that would be completely different if it wasn't, if you weren't having to illustrate someone's ad?
You know, to be honest, there are ads that I don't do because they don't feel safe enough. I mean, I think that part of my agenda, I guess, in doing these cartoons and in dealing with sex at all is I try to have give a really healthy and playful attitude mm-hmm. about sex. That it's you know, it's fun to play with and experiment and having whatever fetish and proclivity that you want, you know, like, get in touch with yourself and, you know, like, put it out there and, you know, whatever, consenting adults and, you know, and it's okay. Mm. And, you know, and you'll get laid, you know, like, there's a good chance, you know, especially with Lust Lab, you know, like, you can find somebody.
Chance.
Yeah, you know, like, go for it, little fucker, you know, really. And so I'm coming from a lot more positive place, I think.
Where he's coming from, I'm never getting any,
right.
He's arrested in this, like,
right. That's one thing that, who said that? Oh, Dan Savage said, he said this in the beginning of the intro, that that I draw people, can I just read this right down here? All right. Most comic artists, blah, 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 will draw a person who looks like someone you would never, never want to sleep with, or worse yet, like someone who would never, ever want to sleep with you, and that I, working with just pen and ink, create real and recognizable human beings with recognizably human bodies, that's what we were talking about, while still managing to make that human sexy and attractive, and... Oh, that's not what... Wait.
What is that?
No. It's just, you know, like, fascinating quirks. And even more rare is the comic art. Well, no,
but
I guess
available.
It was Schmader that said, you know, like, that, and people who would maybe want to fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that I draw, like, sexy people that don't seem unapproachable.
Yeah.
That, you know, like Crumb's whole thing is that here are these women who seem really unapproachable,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times he draws them as unapproachable.
Mm-hmm.
He draws them or he draws them as unapproachable, and then he somehow makes them unconscious or dead. There's one over there, dead.
Or he puts them in the
dead body,
heart-opening position.
Right. Or that he actually does manage to kind of fool them in a way into having sex with them, where I don't know. I mean, it seems really cliche.
You think it's because you don't have to fool people into having sex with you?
Yeah, right. I don't know, it gets into that, you know, like, sex positive, consenting adults.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I think it, you know, like, it happens, you know? It happens. You can get laid.
Right.
You can, little trooper, you know?
Very encouraging.
Yeah.
Well, when did you start making drawings? Like, when did you start drawing comics?
Oh, to comics?
Yeah.
Well, I've drawn ever since I can remember. And I've told stories ever since I can remember.
With but drawings?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I only really put them together in my early 20s. Mm. I mean, looking back, I doodled using word balloons. Mm. I didn't even really think about it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's only in retrospect that I can, that's right, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, early 20s, I guess mm-hmm. that would be the answer.
What were you looking at?
Well, the Dykes to Watch Out For, mm-hmm. Alison Bechdel, was probably my first kind of head-scratching, like, I really kind of identify with, I like, you know, like, mm-hmm. this seems like, I think I need to do this. And then what really kind of, that was the ignition switch, and what got the car going, the comics car going, was this book called Twisted Sisters mm-hmm. that Diane Newman edited, and Aileen Kaminsky-Crum was in it, and Phoebe Gleckner, and all of these women artists, and telling mm-hmm. these stories, and a lot of them were really everyday stories. I mean, I started out doing a lot of autobiographical comics, partly because, I mean, that's kind of where you start from. That's where a lot of people start from, and mm-hmm. that's where I went. And that's I think a lot of women's comics. Here, this is going to be a broad generalization. A lot of women's comics are. Autobiographical? Mm-hmm. Wait, I don't. Maybe. I don't know. I guess I take that back. I don't know that that's true. That more women's comics. There are a lot of auto. Okay, I'm just going to talk in circles now, so I'm going to. Let's go on to another corner. I don't know. I think I'm going to just chase my tail for a while in a not very interesting way. Women's comics. What are the generalizations about women's comics as opposed to what men's comics? Women's comics as opposed to comics in general. Ooh, bad, bad.
So if I just leave this on, you'll just keep going.
That's right. Didn't I say? Shall we move on?
With that, we're gonna stop.
Ah, great. On that note,
what do you think?
Can we bring it back to Crumb somehow? Don't you just love Crumb? Yeah. Kelly, don't you just love
Kelly,
Crumb?
Don't you just love Crumb?
I do just love Crumb, actually.
We just love Crumb.
We do. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
We agree.
Come see the show.
Come see the show.
And go to Ellen's opening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And come to my opening February 9th at the Fantagraphics store in Georgetown. It's my first hardback. That's my hardback. And you can make as many puns as you want.
All right, you've been listening to Invisible Dirty Version. Bye.